Welcome to If the Jeans Fit, Learn to Love the Woman in the Mirror, hosted by Shaquelle Hibbard, registered kinesiologist and coach. Traditionally, a woman's role in society was meant to nurture and care for others. But with these conventional expectations, we have to navigate through the struggles of burnout, the constant battle of not feeling good enough, pretty enough, or thin enough, the relentless pursuit of being enough. In this podcast, we share real and raw conversations about the journey towards self-discovery, self-love, and empowerment, with holistic health at the forefront. Welcome to the next episode of If the Jeans Fit. I'm happy to share I have another guest. I have Oksana Savinska here, and she studied kinesiology, specifically athletic therapy, at the University of Manitoba, and that's actually where we met. Oksana currently works as a certified athletic therapist at a local clinic, and she helps her clients of all ranges and abilities to achieve their goals post-injury or to overall improve their fitness level. Her focus with her clients is to help them connect mindfully to their bodies, either through specific movements or through helping them manage their emotional stressors. So welcome, Oksana. Tell us more about you.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I got certified in 2020, so it was right during COVID. So it was actually very hard to get much of a vacation first because it kept getting pushed back. And then job was easier just because I knew my clinician I was working with. So that was kind of nice and smooth. But yeah, so kind of certified, been working for about 3 years now, been enjoying the field I'm currently in right now. Been learning quite a lot. Originally, I'm from Ukraine, so I've been here for like 18 years at this point. And Vinifex kind of been my home since ever then. And I guess in terms of like activities that I enjoy to do, I'm very much into dancing, and that's something I used to do kind of back home as well, and kind of started progressing into it, and kind of dancing activities is kind of what led me into pursuing athletic therapy at the end. Yeah, it was just kind of in that shell kind of what I am.
That's amazing. Did you find from your move, I guess you would have been quite young, did you find a big cultural shock moving to Winnipeg from the Ukraine?
Definitely was, because I was about 10 years old when I moved. So like I was living with my grandparents, and my parents had many friends. I didn't know English really well when I moved here. So it was a big culture shock in terms of English language. And I guess actually interestingly enough, because like I know you talk a lot about nutrition, very in terms of allergies, it's very different. So I can remember like nut allergies is not a thing in Ukraine as it is here. So I remember having like an almond cookie that my mom gave me, and then all of a sudden like people realized I had it and I was in grade four, and they like dragged me out of the room, threw my cookie away, and just like told me to go wash my hands. And I was like, what the heck is going on, like what happened? And then so since I kind of understood the whole allergies aspect here. But so I think that was the biggest shock, is different foods a lot as well.
Oh, is it that, did you not eat almonds in the Ukraine, or is that?
Oh no, 100%. We had nuts and everything, just allergies. It was not a thing in Ukraine in terms of like nut allergies. It was like lemon, like citrusy foods were allergies and like some other things, but nuts was like, it's a big thing we use in our culture. That's the thing.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a huge shocker, I'm sure. New country, learning the language, and allergic to something you've eaten in the past. Yeah. Wow. Growing up, how did you find, I guess, the mental health side of things being in a completely different country that you knew?
So I guess in Ukraine, mental health, well, I don't know how it is at like presently with the whole situation going on as well, but it's not a very much like looked into profession or like just any aspect of it. Like when I was a kid, it was a lot of those like, oh, if you're sad, just like get over it kind of situation, right? Like if you're crying about it, just get over it, move on with your life. And then when I was in Canada, it was kind of the same kind of thing, like because that's how my parents grew up. They grew up in Soviet Union. You hide everything as much as you possibly can. So it's when I really grew up older and kind of went into this field and like as an adult and started experiencing all these, like learning more about anxiety, depression, right? Like abnormal psychology was actually one of my favorite classes I took. And kind of just learning all like the different like disorders, I guess you could say, that people can have. And there, some of them have explanations, other ones don't. And that's completely normal because it's such a brand new field at this point.
Yes, it's... Yeah, there's so much to explore when it comes to mental health. And I think right now we have the, at least called the DM5, that kind of explains the different disorders. But I feel like there's just so much more we can expand each of those to. So it's a good starting point, but there's a lot more to learn about that.
Oh, 100%.
I'm interested to hear your story with, especially around university, and again, being, I guess you would have had a few years here, but still, it's still different from the Ukraine and their schooling system. Mm-hmm. How was your mental health going into university all the way through starting in your profession during a pandemic?
Honestly speaking, I think like when I came to Canada, I think I had like a hint of like maybe depression or something. Just a different country, right? Like you don't know where you are. You're trying to figure yourself out, right? But like it's nothing really that like deterred me for anything. Like I still did all my things. University was a lot better because it was a lot of that independence that I had, right? So it was quite stable. For me personally, kind of where mental health really kicked in was kind of right around before COVID. There was a lot of like personal situations that were happening, and then COVID happened, which obviously like that was a big strain. And then the worst part I had was when Ukraine war started, right? So doing that, it was 2022, I believe, so doing that year, kind of a year before, I moved in with my boyfriend, which was fantastic, but different stressor, right? I'm not used to living with my parents. I'm living with a different person. We got a dog that was very anxiety kind of driven dog. So he had a lot of like kind of stress that he brought into our life. And then from there, so that was kind of going on. And then Ukraine war started. And that was where I was like, okay, like what is like, I remember just being like completely out of it. Like I had no idea what was going on, right? My whole world was upside down. Like really the only thing that kind of kept me going was just taking one step at a time. I'm like, okay, like, I have to go to work. I have to had like a dance company during that time I was with, which also was very stressful in that company too. So it's kind of everything all at once, but it was one of the things I had to take step at a time. And I was on medication, like medications. I don't remember what it was called, but they more kind of like, they didn't work for me. I didn't want to try any others either, but like they worked for me initially. But just continue on. And then from there, I kind of just deteriorated in about July. And that was when I was about to go to Ukraine, and then I had like a concert I was supposed to go to, but I completely just like quit the dance group, I quit everything, and I just went to Ukraine because I wanted to go, I wanted to see my family back home, and being in an environment that's completely different than from what I'm what you expect like a war to be. I was seeing a lot of different perspectives. I was seeing like sirens going off everywhere. Oh my god, it's been a chaos in a bit today.
It's okay.
So I guess when everything started for me, in terms of like my mental health kind of, I guess, struggles, we want to call it. It was kind of right before the Ukraine war started in February 2022. So it was right before then, like I moved in with my partner just a year before that, which was totally cool, but it's like a whole different experience in itself. And on top of that, we got a very kind of anxiety prone dog. He was very much anxiety driven, very stressful situation. So there was a lot of stress that he brought us, kind of brought upon us. And when the war started, it was, again, I was working and I was like in a very kind of also like a stressful dance group. They were very hard on you as a dancer. And then the whole war started, and then having obviously my family back home, I was completely like, my world was turned upside down. I had no idea where I was, what was going on. I remember going for the first 3 months, just like, I felt like I was in, I don't know, not even cloud nine, like whatever cloud that's not a happy cloud. That's where I was, like completely out of my mind. And then, so that was a very kind of tough situation for me. And then I was on medications at that time, like a very low dose. It wasn't helping me. It was actually making things a lot worse for me. It was weird sensations. And then I started taking a little bit of therapy, like talking to like a therapist. And that was kind of helping me kind of gain like through a little bit of things. But surprisingly or not, what really helped me is going back home to Ukraine, just being a war country there. So we went there early August, and I kind of just like I took time off work, quit my dance and everything at that time. And going back home, it was a strange environment, right? Because you go in, like we took a bus in the middle of the night, go into a country where there's barricades upon barricades. Every single city, they do checkpoints. And then I remember like, we got there during the night, and then the next morning, I remember waking up to our sirens. But at that time, where we were in the Western Ukraine. So it was, you just have to be aware of things. You didn't have to hide as compared to other countries, but still being in an environment, I think it put me in a different perspective of what, like I was experienced compared to like the high amount of stress people were experiencing there. So that, surprisingly or not, after I came back, I dealt with a lot of those emotions, and I dealt with a lot of mine, and then I put everything into dance that I choreographed myself. And that is honestly the best way for me to almost like wrap up and deal with like what I was doing. And ever since that happened, and I performed that dance a few times, it's been like a positive journey since then. Like I have never been happier, I would say, in my entire life. I guess that was like, it's kind of roughly my mental health journey there.
Yeah, that sounds very intense. And I understand. I partially understand the idea around traveling to a different country, seeing the different levels of anxiety and different levels of mental health in a different country, and coming back almost with a different mind frame, because
like a different perspective.
Completely different perspective, because when I was in grade 7 and younger, mm-hmm. I was super shy, and I didn't realize at the time that it was anxiety, but looking back I see and understand I have really, really intense anxiety, and I wouldn't speak. Like I wouldn't even speak to my teacher. I was quiet. And I went to Grenada for a month.
Yeah.
And everyone, it was just such a different lifestyle. And when I came back, I'm like, why just step out of my comfort zone? I mean, that that coping skill may not work for everyone, but hey, I recommend taking a trip and see if that helps your anxiety.
I 100%, because honestly, sometimes you just need to pull yourself away from your environment
and get into a new culture.
Exactly. Not even a new culture. Like even if you just go like camping and just be in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
I truly believe like getting yourself rid of where you are and like clearing your mind, focus on all different things, and then coming back, you're a whole new person. You're going to look at things differently, right? It's like reading your paper, right? Like if you write like a paper from university and it's like in the middle of the night and you're going to keep reading it of course, it's all going to sound terrible, or it's going to sound good regardless.
Yeah.
The next morning when you wake up and you're nice and fresh, it may sound horrible or actually may sound like fantastic, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Same thing.
Same difference. Absolutely. So what would you say your best coping skills were when you're having a rough time?
Hard to tell, right? Because I was jumping back and forth, right? So there is, I know people talk about exercise, and yes, there's truth to that, right? And then, like, I've been doing dance, but again, with dancing or the type of sports activities, there's a lot of pressure on you, right, to perfect your skill, right, to be better and so on. So that, even though you're exercising, which is quote-unquote research is beneficial for you, you have so much mental stimulation on you that counteracts all that. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes just going to the gym helps here and there, right? In terms of, like, actual strategy I used was kind of, like, seeing what I wanted to do that day, right? Taking my time and just being like, hey, today I just want to go for a run. I'm going to let my body do that. If today I want to go and cry in the bed for the whole day, I'm going to do that, right? Letting your body kind of listen into it. And that's what I've been doing a lot with my clients too, because, like, I had many clients that come with pain, right? And they're like, oh my God, I'm like, my knee is so painful. Like, it's, oh my God. And I'm like, okay, like, where is this, like, 9 out of 10 pain coming from if your knee's moving like 100%? And a lot of it came from, like, oh, I was diagnosed with cancer, or, like, oh, I had all these, like, different, like, diseases. My parents died, right? There was a lot of things that I'm like, okay, like, you have a lot of emotional component to it, right? Mm-hmm. How are we dealing with that, right? Like, what are we doing about it, right? Like, are we letting ourselves, like, express those emotions one way or another? And each person's different in that, in how they're going to express that emotion.
Yeah. How would you recommend for someone who has never connected movement and mindfulness together, what would you say is the best steps for them to start?
I kind of like starting with breathing. Like, I do, like, simple breathing dead bug exercises, because it's very simple, right? All you're doing is just lying on your back and you're just letting your stomach move up and down. And I think that's one connection to kind of close your eyes and taking deep breaths and allowing your mind to, like, understand how your stomach moves, understand how your muscles contract and relax. So that's one step I love doing with my patients. And then afterwards, I always tell my patients to be, like, to listen to their bodies, like, to be mindful what they're moving, right? Like, if we're doing, like, a balance exercise, for example, I'm telling them, like, okay, like, think about, like, how your foot is positioning, right? Like, focus on, like, one aspect at a time, right? Generally, like, yes, if you're doing a squat, you want to find, like, 5 billion things to work on, but focus on, like, a simple thing, like, how's your foot placement, right? Like, are you getting your 4 points, right? So kind of, like, the 2 points, almost like your pinky toe and your big toe, and, like, right on the sides, kind of thing of, like, car wheels. Mm-hmm. And thinking about that, just being planted to the ground, and kind of rooting yourself or grounding yourself, as they call it in yoga, that way first, right? So just, like, focus on, like, small things. And I noticed that kind of helps to transition into bigger movements after.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you used dance as a way to kind of relieve some of your symptoms. How would you recommend somebody starts with something like that? Or, like, how did you incorporate dance and mindfulness in one?
And mindfulness. So that's been something I've been exploring lately, because I've been mainly a Ukrainian dancer and, like, a bit of ballet, but recently I've been doing different types of dances, right? Because Ukrainian dancing is lots of smiles, happy faces, but then, like, a dance is, like, lyrical or, like, contemporary. It's a lot of emotion based. It's a lot of how your movement connects with that word in the song, right? So I think when somebody's starting their dance journey, like, yes, ballet and stuff is fantastic, but I would really say to try those, like, lyrical or contemporary based or modern based dances, because they really connect kind of, like, your, how, like, expressing your words, like, through movement, right? It's a lot of that, right? Like, especially lyrical, like, you listen to a song, somebody says you're sad, so many ways you can express it, right? You can go down or you can like move your arm to your chest or something, right? Simple things, but that is like, that's kind of something I would recommend there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What I really like is the fact that you take that approach with your clientele. I feel like we didn't necessarily, at least in, I took regular kin, general kin,
yeah,
we didn't
yeah.
talk much about mindfulness.
No, they don't. They don't teach us in school about it.
Yes. So how did you find that connection for yourself? And then how did you bring it into to your clients?
So it kind of started with, because in my clinic, we do like continuing education kind of stuff. So each clinician, we have to pick a topic to kind of talk about. And my topic was kind of right. It was actually last fall. So it's kind of right after all of this. We're kind of like starting getting better. And I did all my kind of techniques and everything. And I was wondering, I'm like, what can I talk about? Like, what do I want to talk about? And I had access to like a physio network. So I was kind of just browsing through things. And there was mindfulness and pain management. It was like a mini kind of craft course. It was about like 4 or 5 hours or something. And that's kind of what opened up my eyes a lot more to everything, because the physiotherapist there, like he's certified in like mindfulness, body pain management kind of situation. And he was talking a lot about how like just emotional stress, how that can be seen in patients, like in a physical aspect. And like, that's kind of where really my like understanding of like mindfulness movement started kind of developing. And from there, I kind of started incorporating that with more of my patients and actually seeing that it's actually true.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen and read research that says that we hold emotion in our bodies. And if we're holding on to it for years, or if it's something big like grief or pain or trauma, it may come out later in life, and it may show up as some type of pain in your body. And, you know, going to a physiotherapist, an athletic therapist, a kinesiologist, yes, we can, as clinicians, do the physical work to help. But I think it's important for clinicians to include this mindfulness, at least the conversation to
exactly
let them know and make those connections, right? Yeah. So what would you say... What would you say to new clinicians who are going into the field, new athletic therapists? What would you recommend for them to bring this into their practice?
I definitely recommend them to be more open-minded, right? So if they have a patient that comes with like the knee pain and it's not getting better, right? Thinking outside of the box, right? Like, is it truly a meniscus issue? Mm-hmm. Or is there like a bunch of stress on top of it? Yes. Right. When I started exploring more of this, I was talking to my mentor, and he actually mentioned that your psoas muscle, so your hip flexors, right? Mm-hmm. They said that muscle is actually most emotional. Like, that's a very emotional kind of dense muscle. That's a lot of emotions most people hold there. And I was like, okay, cool. So then he was like, get that released, get somebody to release you, and then you might cry after. I was like, all right, like, you know, like, what's kind of happening? Yeah. So like, I was like, whatever. But then I had my my colleague released it, and it was super painful, like super tender. Literally the next week I was like in such a like emotional distress, and like one night I literally had to sit down and just like let it cry. Mm-hmm. I was totally fine the next day, and the next time I had that treatment, 10 times better. And that's what was like, okay, like there is truth to all of this.
Living
so definitely
truth.
Being more open-minded and experiencing, really.
That's amazing. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience regarding, well, any of the topics we talked about today?
I definitely say like when, I would say the hardest part is definitely when you're unsure what's happening, right? Like, you don't know what depression is or anxiety is, or like any kind of mental health disorders that somebody might label you with. And the second part is the labeling. Like, yes, you might have depression, whatever. Somebody might tell you that, but it doesn't, like, you don't label yourself that way. That's my biggest thing, right? Keep going. Like, yes, it's going to be hard, but it's really just taking that one step at a time. And like, even if that one day you're like, I don't want to do this, try it, keep going, right? It's one of those things, like it's very hard to explain it, but like the more you move through it and the more you start like listening to yourself and like allowing your body to like have that cry or like go for that run or just like go to nature, like listening to those different components of what you desire, over time it accumulates and will bring you to a better place. Mm-hmm. Yes, meditations. Yes, I did meditation as well, like kind of breathing. Those all help as well, but it's really what your body desires, because we're all different. Absolutely. We're all very different.
Yes, thank you for sharing. I 100% agree. Listen to your body. It's uncomfortable at first and you may get confused. I was confused by my body. I still am. But it's so worth the journey to understand what your body is asking for. And that comes with intuitive movement for sure. And I talk a lot about that in my mind body confidence course. Thank you so much, Oksana, for coming on the show today. Where can we find you if we're interested in getting treated by you?
Currently I'm located in Winnipeg, and I work out of South Sherbrooke Therapy on kind of heart of Wolseley, I guess, or very close to downtown.
Wonderful. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyone out there that is in Winnipeg, I highly recommend Oksana. You may get a good cry out of it and hey, you might need it. So thank you so much again. And we will chat again.
Thank you so much. Take care.